welcome to the 17th ResEd podcast produced by Media Snackers with Global Kids. Coming up, a podcast interview with a couple of guys from Pew Internet and American Life Project who did a survey entitled Teens, Video Games and Civics. As ever, we'll kick off with the news from the Global Kids guys.
Hey ResEd community, this is Amira.
And this is Rick.
And we're coming to you from the Global Kids office in New York City with your news for today. First off, the ResEd report will be released today online on resed.org. Look for it on the homepage. This is a seasonal report. It summarizes all of the cutting-edge activities and discussions that have been going on amongst our community, including an inaugural report with a special feature on ethics and virtual worlds shown to the public for the very first time, and it's coming to us from our friends at the Harvard University Good Play Project. The report also highlights activities on commercial platforms like Second Life, Quest Atlantis, Dizzywood, and more. So look out for that homepage on resed.org today.
Those of you who remember from September, we had announced that Global Kids had released its Second Life curriculum, which you can download for free from resed.org. If you'll recall, it contains over 160 lesson plans for teaching about Second Life, whether you're in a classroom, a library, or at home. We're very excited to announce that our friend Jeremy Kemp and his father, actually Stephen Kemp, are working together on something that they call the Global Kids Second Life Curriculum Extended, which kind of sounds like, you know, the Matrix Remixed or something. They've basically taken our open source PDF curriculum and kind of created all sorts of different versions of it for using for different purposes. So they have an enhanced PDF version with bookmarks. They have a wiki version. There's a version that you can bring into Second Life with textures. There's a print version with that you can order that they're selling at cost. They've put it into Word. So basically any kind of version that you want of our PDF curriculum, you can probably get it from Jeremy and his father, Stephen. So thanks to them for really doing that open source kind of thing.
And lastly for today's news, since we're going to be focusing on the folks from the Pew Report today for the ResEd podcast, we're going to take a few minutes to just kind of highlight some of the things that are of real interest to those on the Virtual Worlds Hub for learning. As you know, the Pew Report on Teens, Video Games, and Civic Internet and American Life Project with support from the MacArthur Foundation came out about 2 weeks ago. It's a survey that provides the first nationally representative study of teen video games play and of teen video gaming and civic engagement. A lot of the stuff that's coming out in the report is extremely relevant to all of us that are thinking about this work. The survey looks at which teens are playing games, the games and equipment they're using, the social context of their play, the role of parents and parental monitoring. It's the first large-scale study to examine the relationship between specific gaming experiences and teens in their civic activities and commitments. A few things to highlight: 27% of teens play online games with people they first met online. 23% of teens play with both friends and families known in the offline worlds and the people they met online. Today, when you're looking at the ResEd report, you'll see a special feature on ethics. The Pew report highlights that nearly two-thirds, 63% of teens who play games, report seeing or hearing people being mean and or aggressive while playing, and 49% report saying or hearing people being hateful, racist, or sexist while playing. Of note, however, is that among these teens, nearly three-quarters report that another player responded by asking the aggressor to stop, at least some of the time. Furthermore, 85% who report seeing this behavior also report seeing other players being generous or helpful while playing.
For those of you who are interested in civic engagement, the report found that civic learning opportunities promote civic outcomes among youth. The report found that many of these civic learning opportunities parallel particular elements of video gameplay. Teens with the most civic and gaming experience, like the top 25%, were more likely to report interest and engagement in civic and political activities than tweens with the fewest, the bottom 25%. Teens who take part in a special interaction related to a game, such as commenting on a website or contributing to a discussion board, are more likely in general to be engaged civically and politically. So for example, 18% have protested in the last 12 months compared to 8% of those who play games but don't contribute to online gaming communities. So the report found basically that civic gaming experiences are more equally distributed than many other civic learning opportunities. So teens in this sample were equally likely to report having civic gaming experiences regardless of their race, age, or income bracket.
Yeah, that's absolutely remarkable. Also of note is that younger tweens are more likely to leap into virtual worlds. The report found that virtual worlds are persistent online play spaces, which allow users to determine the direction of gameplay, but overall 10% of all American teens visit virtual worlds, places like Second Life, Club Penguin, and Wyville. There are no gender, racial, or ethnic differences in these virtual worlds, according to the report. However, younger tweens are more likely to have visited virtual worlds than older ones, with 13% of 12 to 14-year-olds visiting them, compared to just 8% of teen ages 15 to 17. Teens who play games are more likely to visit virtual worlds than teens who play games weekly or less often, about 8%.
And lastly, the report found that there is certainly a gender breakdown in massively multiplayer online games, that 3 in 10 gaming boys play massively multiplayer games. Only 1 in 5, 21% of teens who play video games play massively multiplayer online games, but boys are much more likely to play MMOs than girls. Nearly one-third, 30% of boys who have played a massively multiplayer online game, compared to the 11% of gaming girls.
And that's it for the news this week. If you have news that you'd like to share on the ResEd website or on our special podcast coming up, please send them over to resednews@globalkids.org.
My name is Amanda Lenhart, and I am a senior research specialist at the Pew Internet and American Life Project. The Pew Internet Project is a nonprofit, nonpartisan research center based in Washington, D.C., that studies the social impact of the Internet on Americans.
Brilliant. Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us, Amanda, talking to us today. Tell us a little bit about this survey that you guys have just released in the last couple of weeks called Teen Video Games and Civics, and tell us, before you go into it, really the reasons why it came about, if you could.
Great. Well, we had, at the Pew Internet Project, we had wanted to do a study of teens and video gaming. And we knew that the MacArthur Foundation had a big initiative that was looking at digital media learning and youth. And so we were connected with the MacArthur Foundation through a meeting where I was, called in to be an advisor on some topics. And through that meeting, I was connected with my research partners at Mills College. And the sort of three parties got together and created this research project where we looked at video games, but also beyond just looking at the arena of games. We also wanted to focus in on a particular question around games. And so we decided to focus in on games and sort of community, games and civics, games and sociability.
Okay, that's wicked. So give us an overview then of, or like a top line results. What did you find out during this survey?
Well, it's a big survey, so there's a lot to talk about. But we certainly, I think just one of the things that really astonished us was this sort of basic benchmark that we found, that 97% of American teenagers between the ages of 12 and 17 play some kind of games. That could be anything from, playing a game on your cellular mobile phone, to playing a first-person shooter on a console, to playing Civilization on your home computer. But it really is that the games are nearly universal for American teens. And then beyond that, we found that gameplay is very diverse. It's not just that teens are playing one kind of game. Individual people play a wide variety of games. Your average teenager is playing five or more different game genres. 40% of teens are playing eight or more genres. And beyond that as well, we found that games are very social, that they are not just something that you play by yourself, though certainly teens do play alone, but that for the majority of teens, most of the time, they are playing games with other people, with friends. That could be friends online. It could also be friends who are sitting next to you in the same room, but that it is a space where teens engage and interact with each other.
Wicked. And tell us a little bit more about this diversity involved in the report of the survey results, specifically regarding across the board that the fact that it was so diverse and there weren't any special or gender-specific or race-specific issues that came out of the survey. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did find that that girls are slightly less likely to play video games than boys. But when we say slightly less likely, we mean that it's 94% of girls as opposed to 99% of boys. So it's still nearly universal for girls as well as boys. Girls are actually likely to play slightly less often, less frequently than boys, and the kinds of games that they play tend to be a little bit different. But nevertheless, girls are still playing, you know, half of girls are playing action and adventure games. It's not just necessarily the stereotype that girls are only playing puzzle games and that boys are playing the first-person shooters. Certainly girls are playing all of those games as well. We didn't actually see, in terms of overall gameplay, a lot of variation at all. It really is sort of every child who is playing these games. It's not there weren't any differences by race or ethnicity or by family income or by your location in the country, whether you live in a city or in a town or in a rural area. Pretty much every kid is playing games.
That is amazing. So tell us the kind of link between now the top line results that you found, that it is so diverse, it's so rich in a sense, this gaming community across young people, but now the link to civic and almost citizenship in a sense. Now, how did you marry those two together in terms of your survey and your questions and stuff?
That's a great question. And certainly a lot of the civic questions, I think, really, they sprang out of this sort of two concerns. One is whether pulling out of this idea of games as a social space. One of the questions we went into this research with was, you know, are games causing or leading to greater amounts of isolation? Are teens not spending time with friends, not spending time in their community, not engaged with their community? Or conversely, do games actually have some promise for connecting adolescents with their community and helping them to become better citizens, to be more civically engaged, politically engaged? And so we asked a variety of questions to try to look at some of those questions about community and civic engagement. And some of those questions were really basic questions of about trying to relate how you play games and then some of your offline behaviors. So what we found is that actually teens who play games with others in person are more likely to actually to do things that might be called civically engaged. And so we took behaviors that people who have been spending 30 years researching civic engagement have established as some behaviors that are markers of being civically engaged. And that's things like talking with somebody about a candidate you might vote for, volunteering in your community, helping to raise money for charity, helping to organize people around an issue, following and staying engaged with political and community news. And we found that teenagers who play with other people in person are more likely to be engaged in their communities in that way.
Wow.
And then we tried to push it a little bit further by looking to see if there were actually ways that you could play a game that might actually then also connect back to your engagement with your community. So we looked at behaviors that you could engage in within a specific game, and by that, we asked about whether or not you played games where you had the opportunity to help somebody else, whether you played games where you had the opportunity to organize people into groups or guilds. So in a game like World of Warcraft, something like that. Mm. We asked about whether or not you had the opportunity to pretend or to practice being a leader of something, whether that was a city or a town or a country, whether you had to, basically a simulation of a government experience. And so we looked at these behaviors, and we found that teens who said that they engaged in these kinds of behaviors in the games that they played, sometimes, often, were actually more likely to say that they were engaged in their community through all of those other behaviors I just mentioned about voting and volunteering and raising money for charity and talking about it, being engaged with politics. So, of course, our research isn't causal. We can't say for certain that one of these things causes the other of these things.
Yeah.
But we do actually think that there is, you know, something of a two-way relationship here, that certainly kids who are interested in their communities and in being engaged in their community are a little bit more likely to play games where they have the opportunity to engage in those kinds of behaviors, these sort of what we call civic gaming behaviors. But we also believe that when you play games that have these civic opportunities within them, that you are then more likely to also, again, become engaged and become more engaged in your community.
It is interesting about that real life conversion rate almost from virtual civics to real civics. And I know that you also focused a little bit around ethics. And I know that's of interest to the Res Ed community because we've done a special feature on ethics in virtual worlds. Now, what did your survey come out with regarding ethics and the behavior online?
Well, there was a couple of elements that I think potentially relate to ethics. I mean, we asked teens about whether or not they had ever experienced other people engaging in what might be called antisocial behaviors. Mm. We asked teens whether or not they had seen someone in a game be overly aggressive to another person in a game. We also asked, and we found about half of teens three-quarters of teens had had that experience. We also asked teens whether or not they had seen somebody or using language that was hateful, racist, or sexist within a game. And we found that, about half of teens said that they had experienced that. But then we followed up those questions and asked whether or not the teen had seen somebody else in the game responding to those behaviors, to those antisocial behaviors. And about 70% of teens in each case said that they had seen somebody responding to those behaviors. Now, we don't know necessarily whether the response was positive or negative, but the idea being that, one of the ways in which people who experience antisocial experiences can have those sort of experiences mitigated is if you actually see somebody responding to them. And then we also followed up with another question that asked whether or not teens had seen positive behaviors in the game. Have you ever seen anybody being generous or helpful within a game space? And 70% of kids said that they had experienced that as well. So games are, in some ways, I think, a real microcosm of life, of the world. They are, as you would experience, positive and behaviors in your school hallway or at the mall or, on the street in your community, just in the same way as you would now potentially have these experiences in a game space as well.
So given the data from the Pew report and the things that you found out, what does it suggest for educators thinking about gaming and virtual worlds and its use then in education?
Well, I think they do show some promise for education. Now, certainly in our survey, we asked about virtual worlds, and we found about 10% of teens say they had visited a virtual world. We found that younger teens are actually more likely to have visited virtual worlds than older teens. And so there seems to be at least a basic level of interest in these spaces, though it clearly is something that needs to grow and to be talked about more, and more kids would need to be introduced to these spaces. And I think potentially a school-based introduction to that has a lot of promise. Certainly, we also asked about whether or not kids had played games within a school setting, and about 30%, a little bit more than 30%, had that experience. So we are starting to see video games and virtual spaces being used by educators, but it is clearly at the beginning of its use. But certainly I think we do see that games show some promise for engaging kids with ideas, at least in the civic realm where we asked about them, that may in fact have relationships to their offline behaviors and to their experiences being a part of their community. And so it strikes me that there is a good deal of promise for games as tools for learning, games as ways of engaging kids with learning. I mean, one of the takeaways for us was how engaged young people are with games. I mean, half of teens are playing games on any given day. They love them. They play them all the time. They are engaged by them and excited by them. And it strikes me that educators, there's so much promise, and particularly with virtual worlds, which are so malleable, to harness that excitement that teens have around video games and around virtual spaces, and to use that as a way of sort of pulling that excitement into the realm of learning.
Interesting. I'm going to end with a kind of a future hope question here. If you could do the report but only focus on this virtual spaces rather than just games overall, or if someone would to lead that report, what do you think they could take from your results and kind of explore in terms of just doing one around virtual spaces? What is there left to explore in terms of the positive use of this stuff? Or is there?
I think there's a lot. Oh, this is just the first... First of hopefully many reports on this topic, and not necessarily just by us. I think there's a vast space left to explore in terms of particularly virtual worlds. As I said, only about 10% of young people we talked to said that they are using virtual worlds, which about 20% of teens have used massive multiplayer online games. So there's, I think, if you think of MMOs as a kind of a gateway into a more traditional virtual world, I think certainly there's... there seem to be kids who are primed to use these virtual spaces. Also, I think the potential for growth in virtual spaces seems quite large, as the people who use it more often are younger teens. But in terms of ideas for research, I think understanding how virtual worlds specifically can transmit information and can be used for learning as creative spaces. That was one thing that we didn't have a chance to spend a lot of time with, which is about games as creative spaces, talking about modding and using games as a way of expressing yourself creatively. I think there's a real ripe opportunity for doing research on that in virtual spaces as well, not just in games. But again, also understanding virtual worlds and how they are different from games, and understanding them as social spaces, and understanding them as in how they connect with how they connect with society and community, I think it's all open for research. We really don't have a lot in our survey about them, so it's wide open.
Well, I'd just like to thank you for giving up your time to speak to ResEd. Really appreciate it, Amanda.
Oh, great, thank you.
And for the events this week, we have the Stepping Into Health Conference taking place tomorrow, October 7th. Using virtual worlds to promote health and healthcare is the topic of the Stepping Into Virtual Worlds conference series. Hundreds of people have attended in the past into the Stepping Into History conference in June, and that was followed by the Stepping Into Literature conference in August. These series are sponsored by the Alliance Library System and Learning Times. It's a day-long conference. It's open to the public, and more information is available at steppingintovirtualworlds.org or on the ResEd events listing page.
And one other event that we don't have a whole lot of details about is the Immersive Education Conference in Brazil. Apparently, it's taking place in Sao Paulo on Monday, October the 27th. If you want more information, head to www.immersiveeducation.org, where hopefully they will have updated that with times and locations, and if you can attend virtually or if you have to fly over to Brazil, which I frankly would be very happy to do at this point. And that's all we have for the calendar. So if you have events that you know about, make sure you get them to us. How do they get it to us?
Just send them over to resedinfo@globalkids.org.
Right.
All the links referenced in this podcast, as well as the full transcripts, will be available on the show notes at resed.org.